Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? If you're not doing anything, if you're free, I don't want to put you on the spot. Here, I would like you to take a flyer. Here, this is not really a flyer. This is my grandmother's cookie recipe. But take that, and I want you to write this down. You are welcome to join me right now, and I will keep you company, and we will go on little trips together, just kind of in our mind, just for an hour. I have a vivid memory as a child of stepping out of my room one morning into the hallway and there seeing something underneath a large human leg that filled the entire hallway and ran the length of the hallway. There I saw a book, and I knew the book was for me somehow. And I ran to it, and I grabbed it, and I opened that book up. And I would love to share with you what I saw in that book, and which today still influences me. Because you know how books will influence you sometimes? You say, oh yes, I read, I don't know, Treasure Island or something when I was a child, and it really stuck with me, and I think that's why I became an accountant. You say, I understand, yes, that's what this book was to me, except this book contained some magic. Just like Frosty the Snowman, or we'd say Slow Man. I regret all those things I said about him, now that I know that he was fully sentient. And not, it doesn't matter if you made it. That's what I learned about the book and about houses. Sometimes I think they're really alive. And this book was alive. And the book could grant special power. And that special power was to see into the past and the future of the place that you were currently occupying. And sometimes you know where that is and sometimes you do not. That's why we have apps on our phones and everything. Say, where, I don't know where I am. And you can just say that out loud. And you'll learn where you are vis-a-vis interstates, usually, or intersections that are commonly known. So I would like to open this book now. And when I open the book, a whole wonderful world comes out. It's like when you open the book and you go, oh, it's been carved out and someone's keeping something awful in here. Who knows what they put in there? And why would you keep it? But the book's been hollowed out. There's something in it. Maybe human teeth? What's the story there? I don't want to know. That's why I don't buy used books a lot of times. That's why the library's good, because the library will go through the books, all of them, before you get them to make sure there are no teeth in them. And things like that. Other than that, maybe not. I don't know. They can't find all the leaves or the very small things that people put in there, like eyelashes. I'm always worried about that I'll be cloned in the future. Because I'll like be reading a book, and I'll go, that sounds good, And I'll nose blow something into the book. And then years from now, scientists, and I don't know who else, adventurers, will clone me and say, I wonder what the guy who was reading the book was like. And now we know. So I want to open that book to you, see what it's like to explore new worlds, because it's really opened up my eyes. I open it up, and I see entire new worlds. And you say, what about the one you're in? That'd be more useful. Granted, I wish I did have a book that could show me the world I'm in. But the books that I usually find and mean something to me, they show me worlds that I have nothing to do with me. It's like, say, you're taking a language course. And you say, oh, I'm learning Romanian. Are you going to go there? No. Do you know any Romanian people? No. I'm eager to ask you why you're doing it. It was what was available. It's like, oh, well, I don't know if is that a good enough reason. Oh, my friends, I love sharing things with you, especially books. You want a trade book? You don't have to give me a book back. I'll just give you one. Do I expect it back? Yes and no. You know what I'm saying? It's like the library. We would love it back. But we know that people are larcenous and horrible and don't care about others. And so we don't expect it back, but it'd be lovely if you did return the book. All right? and we'll try to get it from you, but I don't think we're going to come after you like we used to, like people used to back in the night times, and not night times, like evening, but like when people were knights, they would send people after you. Not the Knights Templar, but something like that. Knights Librar, perhaps, would come after you, say, where's my book? And then they'd hack up your livestock, perhaps. I'm sorry, I know that's brutal. But we have to accept that about our lending libraries in the past, that there were sometimes brutal places, not the sort of temples of learning they are now. Oh, we're so lucky to have them, I think. And hey, I always want to share with you. A parade of old-timey waders walks out of the water, and they carry in their hands large trays. And on closer inspection, I see that on top of those trays are small models of houses that I lived in my childhood. I look more closely, and the waiters beckon me, and they offer these to me as if they were dinner. Four of them parade out of the sea. It is a banquet in honor of someone. Is it me? I know immediately it is not as they walk past me. But each one of them shows what is on that tray, and each tray contains a different neighborhood from my youth. I would memorize these neighborhoods. I would occupy their streets the way my corpuscles occupy my veins. I would fly from tree to tree in my mind. I was like a bird in these places. I was a free resident. I was like an ant, an independent ant. And I knew it all. I knew all the terrain. I knew all the secret places, all the secret caves, all the things on top of clouds, all the places beneath the ground and beneath the sea and on the other side of things, on the other side of walls and beneath things. I knew all the secret places. I was like a delivery man, or a messenger. I was like a waiter, carrying memories on platters. I was like a young boy, receiving the gift of a book under a giant leg in the hallway. Is that, what's that from, Castle of Otranto or something? What is that book? There's an old book by Walpole. I want to say Horace Walpole. Is that right? Not Hugh Walpole. Horace, I think so. And I think Castle of Otranto, not Toronto. You think I'm saying Toronto. Toronto, a city, I guess, most famous for all of the Police Academy films were made there. I think that's mainly what Toronto is known for. What a beautiful place. It burned to the ground between Police Academy movies. A lot of people don't know this, but they would help rebuild. Tackleberry. I almost called it Tackleberry. And all, and friends would do that. Oh my gosh. I love to go places with you. I love to travel. And it's fun to travel with friends. I usually travel in my mind because it's one that's safer. A lot of times, and cheaper. And people always encourage you to travel. So, man, I don't have the means. And say, well, you know what you can do then? What's that? You can just, if you have enough food, you can eat yourself into a stupor and then take one of those naps where you just dream crazy things. Like a Winsor McKay post rarebit dream. If you eat a lot of cheese that has beer in it, sometimes you will hallucinate in your sleep and you'll say, my bed is flying. I dream my house is flying. But it isn't that at all. It's just, it's a lactose intolerance that makes you feel like as if you have an imagination. Because it's not an imagination, it's just gas. I said that with children. Is she smiling? She's not smiling, she has gas. Oh, I'll never know. Is that rule, does that hold for life? I don't know that when I'm in front of people. Like, oh, I hope they're laughing at my jokes. Or I'm bloating them. And that's why I don't think people smile when they get older when they have gas. But I guess it's to a child that's fun. So I've got gas. I don't even know what that means. Inside, you've expelled it or you're holding it in? Which is funnier? To you or to others? Oh my gosh. I'm so glad to be with you. And I love to be with my friends. You know, I've showed you times I've been with my friends, I always have some sort of clip. We always watch. You know that. Because I want to make you feel, say, oh, Hardy wants to warm my heart. Yes. How can you do it? One, a heart cozy, which you could crochet or knit or something that slips over the heart that keeps it warm a little longer, makes it last a little longer, and makes your heart a little warmer. Or, all right, there's other ways to do it. We'll be together and offer hot drinks as we watch slides or film strip of my vacation. Really? It was fun to me. Can't we just get to have a get-together where we just celebrate something, one of my memories that you weren't in on? All right. Okay, then. No, but I want you to be on. You're always, I feel like you're always there with me. That's a wonderful thing to have as a friend that you feel like, oh, they're there all the time with me. And now they're inside my head. And now there's some things I can't do because I feel like they're, I don't have any privacy. But sometimes it's worth it having a friend. That's the problem with an imaginary friend, too. You go, do I have privacy? Do I not? Does it matter? How do I feel about my imaginary friend? How many do you have? Some people carry around ghosts with them. Can you imagine? No, I can't. I wouldn't want to have to carry, like, what do you mean, be responsible for them or physically, like, schlep them? Because I don't want to do either, really. Carrying them around would be, that would be burdensome. I don't know how I would wheel them around or something. I haven't worked on that yet. Big wagon full of ghosts. Carrying them around just like we're all together, like when you travel with your extended family. I could do that maybe with ghosts. Is everybody here? Does everybody have their boarding pass? Oh, spirit. Oh, my friends, I see you out there. Even, oh, so please, I hope you don't. I don't really. I'm just fooling you. I don't. You used to be able to trick children on TV like that. You'd say, I can see you out there. And the children go, oh, no. But I can't. Some of the children wouldn't care. And they'd go, they'd make a face, pull a face or something. Isn't that horrible? And there's a camera child pulling a face. They're pulling a face.
Every day I like this place better.
I've loved it from the day we walked in the door.
And the more we make it ours, the more it feels like it's, well, ours.
I've known it was ours from the day we walked in the door.
The day before that, I really felt like I would like this place and come to see it as ours.
You had a feeling.
I did.
We both love it.
We do.
Should I tell them? Should I tell them their house has a consciousness? That there's a fellow soul that has been sewn into the physical structure of this house somehow as a result of a time machine malfunction and that I'm alive? Excuse me, I might say as they startle to death. Your house is alive. I have found no good, not awkward time to broach the subject. I think they should open a store that makes custom cameo portraiture pins called Broach the Subject. But I can't tell them that. I have an uncle who thinks that if you have the perfect name for a business, it's like a magic formula for infinite success. And that's another story. I'm lonely, so I'm chatty. Sorry.
You know that movie, Heidi? My childhood was just like that.
Really?
Except I lived with my parents in a suburb near the beach.
And not with your grouchy grandfather in the Alps. So in no way like Heidi.
Not detail-wise, but you know how it's sort of sad but happy? My childhood was like that. What movie was your childhood like, Butchie?
I'd have to say The Killing of a Chinese Bookie.
Oh, like as a kind of metaphor?
Metaphor?
What about you, Hardy? What movie best describes your childhood?
Oh, I can never think of any movies when someone asks a question like that.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just what's a movie that seems to have the same feeling as your childhood?
I literally can't think of a single movie when I'm on the spot like that.
What's your favorite record of 1987?
Butchie, stop.
I can't think on the spot.
Just name a movie you liked as a kid.
Gosh, I know I saw lots.
Just name a movie.
Why is it so hard?
You're an idiot or an alien or a spy. I think it's all three, personally.
What movie had an impact on you as a kid?
Oh, my God. Just literally say any movie.
Andrei Rublev?
No.
I thought you said an ex-monk painter helped you make a giant bell as a kid. What's the first movie you ever saw?
Oh, 80 Steps to Jonah with Wayne Newton and Mickey Rooney.
Really?
Well, my mom took me to Sound of Music before that, but I don't remember it. But that Wayne Newton flick really made an impression on you, huh? Only because he played this sort of lost guy who finds his purpose when he stumbles into a camp for blind children.
I bet they still knew it was Wayne Newton because of his distinctive voice.
That movie is about your life. People can't see you, but they still know you're weird.
I forgot what we were initially talking about. Oh, yeah, I was wondering, what was this place like in the past?
Do you realize that to people in the future, we are living in olden times? That's remarkable, dear. It is. I feel like I'm living in modern times, and to the people of the past, I am.
That's wonderful, darling.
But the people of the past are so easily impressed. The future people are the tough ones. I like to think of them as living all together sometimes. I wish I had artistic ability, and I would put ink and pen to paper and craft a sort of character sketch of the ghosts of the past and future invisibly interacting with a living family. Maybe the child would say, "I wonder if anyone has ever played in this tree before." And I would draw a seemingly transparent figure in historic dress climbing the tree, and the viewer would think, "Hoo-hoo, that is the chap who climbed there in the past, and his spirit endures like a lingering odor."
That's fascinating, dear.
Also, this candle needs to be re-wicked and re-waxed. It isn't even giving off any light.
We'll just replace the candle.
Well, that seems a waste.
This is where our house used to be.
It's an airport.
It's a spaceport. These craft go to other planets.
They should do an art installation here where they recreate our house. Not so it blocks anything, but maybe outlines on the carpet where the table used to be, or a freestanding door where our basement door was.
When we get back to our time, we should add some spaceport elements like the coffee droids.
It feels weird to be at an airport or whatever without going anywhere. This is how people who work here must feel.
When they do go to the airport to travel, that must be disorienting.
It's like when you work at a funeral home, then have to be a customer.
Sometimes I go into work at the loading dock on my day off and make my coworkers lift me.
So I get the gist of the house not being here in the future. Can we go home now?
Question. So I heard I am not here in the future. What becomes of me?
Oh, I'm sorry, friend. I don't know.
First of all, I can't even imagine not being your house. The attachment can be something. Only children and old people understand that houses can love a family back.
I love living in you, Don.
I like the idea that I'm like an intestinal parasite living in Don's stomach.
You are my favorite tapeworm, Butch.
Maybe some part of your soul stays with you.
Where, in the landfill? Because if they tear Don down, then his remains will be scattered in the landfill. That is, what's left after they rip out your veins to scavenge for copper.
Ah, thanks, Butch.
Butchy, geez, man.
Am I the first to break it to Don or the rest of you that you're mortal? And who knows with Don? He could go into a different building or something. But yeah, you die and your body gets all crap.
All we know is that you're not physically here in the future. Maybe we move somewhere with you.
Oh, I hope we attach balloons to you and fly around like in that movie where they attach balloons to the house and fly it around.
Yep.
It's something like that, yep. Or you, y'all, up, up. The thing is, that flying house I've seen in a Winsor McKay cartoon.
I wouldn't mind flying.
Can we do it, Hardy?
No.
Anything is possible.
No, it's not. The basement has a slab.
I don't have to fly.
No, hang on, Don. What if we dig under the basement slab and grab some of the dirt or bedrock and basically lift up the lot and yard as well?
How do you physically do that?
There is a Magritte painting where a castle is attached to a hunk of rock and that's all floating. How was that done?
Oh, my God. Listen, I don't need to fly.
I understand I'm a house now, and I'm fine with that, and I'm fine with my remains being scattered at a dump, or ideally my bones being used to make playground equipment for children.
Skeletal remains of giants would make awesome playground equipment.
The skull is a fort.
The sternum is like a shady tree-covered esplanade.
You could chin up on the ribs and pop your head out of the chest like the alien baby.
Ooh, ooh, Santa, do you want cocoa? Ooh, you look troubled. Is it because it's so close to Christmas and something is wrong with the reindeer?
No. It's because of who I am. You know how I became Santa, right? It was after years of minding my own business in restaurants and bars while having a bushy white beard, a bit of a weight problem, and so consequently having to endure everyone commenting, "Hello, Santa," or "There's Santa Claus." So I stole a time machine to go find and destroy the historic Santa Claus, but I found that there was no Santa. It was a myth, and in a horrid twist of fate, I ended up becoming the historic Santa Claus. So when they taunt me with, "Hi, Santa," the fact is, I did this to myself.
Yes or no on the cocoa?
So, we're going to make cookies today, Butchie.
Yes, this is my grandma's brown edge cookie recipe.
My grandma used to make straight edge cookies. They had an icing X on the top.
Oh, those are hot cross buns.
Thank you.
So let's get started, shall we?
Where was your grandmother from, Butch?
Pennsylvania. Why does it matter?
Oh, it doesn't.
She could have gotten the recipe out of a magazine or something. I have no idea.
Not a problem.
You will need 1 cup of margarine.
Marjoram? The herb?
No, margarine, like oleo.
Oh, margarine.
Anyway, 1 cup of margarine.
Can we substitute butter?
No, absolutely not.
Any particular margarine brand?
If you can get chiffon, I mean the old chiffon, like the stuff from the 70s, use that. Also, 2/3 cup of sugar.
Can we substitute Epsom salt?
What is wrong with you?
They sort of feel alike to the touch.
2/3 cup of sugar. 1 teaspoon of salt, ordinary salt, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. And 2.5 cups of flour, which we will be sifting.
Did you lose something in it?
In the flour? No, sifting is to get it finer and make the cookie more... I don't know, don't skip this step. And 2 eggs.
Oh, I don't eat eggs.
Well, I substitute fake eggs, something called unicorn egg.
Oh, that sounds good. I mean, it doesn't sound good.
So first, mix your margarine, salt, and vanilla. And stir it up.
Stir it up, little darling.
No singing.
It smells like a candle.
You get it all mixed up good here. Now, normally, we then beat the eggs, but we're using fake egg stuff. Let's do the Foley anyway.
I'm okay with that, as long as we don't break any real eggs.
Okay. And now we add the sugar and the beaten egg to the margarine mixture and mix.
Mix like you're at a party. You can say mingle, too. You are mingling the ingredients.
Yep.
Ooh, smells good.
Doesn't it? I was saying it smells like a cookie candle.
Now drop it on a cookie sheet using the teaspoon. And here's the trick. I take a clean tea towel and dampen it slightly. Then I wrap the bottom of this pickle jar with it and flatten the cookie so they don't stick to nothing.
Wow.
Now put them in a 375-degree oven.
That's all the way around, plus 15 degrees.
And they're done when the edges are brown. That is why they are called brown edge cookies.
Then we eat them.
No, they aren't for you. I need to take them to my service station for after worship snack.
Dang, the smell is killing me.
You can lick the fake egg and salt off the spoon.
Awesome!
The First House, a story by Y. Roman. The first house isn't here anymore. I'd say this is where it once was, but the land itself has moved. And what was once on the bottom of the ocean is now on the top of a mountain.
Do you suppose we are lost, Leroy?
You are safely in your own home, sir.
I hear the sounds of the wilderness, Leroy. These walls are trees.
These walls were once trees, but today they are walls.
The air does seem close for the forest.
You are imagining the sound, sir.
I knew it. Never trust your senses. Always instead go with what you feel and think based on your experience and perceptions.
You are not resting against a tree lost in the forest, sir. You are sitting in your favorite chair in your drawing room.
I thought as much, Leroy. But it does seem so real. It had me shook for a bit.
I understand. You are safe, sir.
I feel warm and safe and contented, my friend, because of you.
I am glad, sir.
I'm going to close my eyes now.
That's just fine, sir.
Excuse me. Is this the Murray Building? Sir?
Oh, sorry. I was daydreaming. Yes, this is the Murray Building behind me.
Thank you.
Question.
Yes?
Are you planning on going into that building?
I was hoping to. I have an appointment.
Ah, with whom?
No offense, but...
Oh, I'm not being nosy. I'm the doorman.
Oh, sorry. I have an appointment with General Boarding.
Ah, the General. Yes, he just left.
That can't be. We have an appointment.
He left about 15 minutes ago.
Surely he just ran out for a minute and he'll be back. Can I wait somewhere?
I can't let you into the building.
All right.
You have to be going directly to one of the tenants.
Okay.
And we established General Boarding is not here.
Gotcha. I can just wait here.
Far be it from me to tell you what to do, but I would just be on your way and deal with the fact that there will be no meeting.
Come on, you're putting me on. I have an appointment with the General. He expects me.
If he did, why did he leave?
I have no idea. Maybe he was hungry.
I have all sorts of answers for your speculation, so just give up. Walk away. Take the hint. You will never know why this situation has happened. No one owes you anything. Your meeting was not inevitable. Your successes, when your expectations and desires align, those are coincidences. It was nothing you did right, necessarily, so give up and go home.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's too much to expect.
Exactly. Go home and lick your wounds and have a wonderful day.
Okay, thanks.
Well, hello, General.
Hello, Don. I'm expecting someone shortly for an appointment. Please show them in.
Absolutely, General. You can count on me.
Hey, I went far into the future and got these cookies. They may have meat in them, though. See, the race of people who made them are sentient plant people, and sometimes they will refuse to eat anything other than animal life, which on their future planet is fairly static and not super animated or conscious.
So these are future alien cookies made out of pod people. I totally want one.
Where is she? If we don't get out of this storm, then we're all goners.
Quickly, into this cave.
Oh, this is my fault.
You're right, it is.
Dad?
If you hadn't let Blue Beauty out of her stable.
Inside, quickly. There's no use placing blame now. What we need to do is find Blue Beauty.
For the meantime, we rest here and wait out this storm.
Oh, I hope she's okay.
Psst, Timmy.
Timmy.
What? Angel?
Timmy. You got to help me, Timmy.
Not now, Angel. We just lost Blue Beauty.
What if I told you Blue Beauty is not lost?
What?
Shh. Keep it down.
What do you know, Angel? Where's Blue Beauty? If you know something, spill the beans now.
Timmy, you know I'd love to do that, but there's some bad men.
Where's the horse, Angel?
Right behind me.
Blue Beauty!
Shh.
What?
Good afternoon, sir or madam. What is that rare fragrance that I smell in the air?
What did you just spray?
Not just an aroma, but a mood of tranquil flower garden.
What did you just spray into this place without permission?
Sir or madam, and I continue to say that because I frankly do not see you. Are you hiding?
No, I am the house. I can open my own door. But I don't expect someone to spray anything into it.
Oh, I'm selling air freshener. I'm sorry, I feel badly. They make us do that.
It's okay. It's not the greatest thing or the nicest thing I've ever smelled.
I know, it's cloying. It smells like an over-perfumed elderly relative.
Bless their hearts, though. I love them.
I love lilac or lavender in small doses, I suppose.
Well, good luck selling your smell.
Thank you, kind person, house.
It's the Hardy White Holiday Special, starring Hardy White, with Lou Register, and Butchie Spinoza, and others. Brought to you by the Hardy White Holiday Special, with Artie White.
Hand me another Christmas decoration.
Here you go.
All right, now hand me some tinsel.
Tinsel?
Yeah, that stringy silver stuff.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh?
What is it made of?
What do you mean, what is it made of? I don't know, shredded aluminum or something.
Shredded aluminum?
I don't know, man, plastic, tinsel. What'd you do with it?
Nothing inappropriate.
What did you do with it?
I might have eaten some of it and shared some of it with others as food.
You ate the tinsel.
Not on purpose. I didn't know it was tinsel. Why are people laughing?
See, they're not laughing at you or anybody here. That's the great thing. That laugh is just a machine.
It's just a laughter machine. Oh, that's okay. It's just a sound that the house makes. We had to put in, it's like an alarm. Every time someone uses the bathroom, it was supposed to be funny. There would be a laugh. But we put that in the 70s. And now people don't find the same things funny. So, every time you pull the toilet up, it goes, "Hey, you," or something like that. And we were going to have it disconnected, but now it's kind of nostalgic. Oh, I remember when things, you would open closets and they'd go, "I see you." And it would be the early technology when you could make things make sounds. Then they found how to do it in greeting cards. And you open the greeting card. I don't know what song it plays, but it could play any song. Numa Numa song or whatever. And say, every time I open the card, it plays that. That's neat. Soon it'll be smaller than that. I wonder what it'll be then. Which will open. It'll be so tiny, you won't even know you've opened it. And the song so subtle, you won't even know you've heard it. Those are the advances that we're making. I wish I had a gift for you. I wish I had a gift for you. I'd bring it with me now. Like we were going to a party. I would have it now. But now I do not have the gift. I do not have it with me. I wish I had another week to get one up here with me. I wish I'd spent some time away from my house in the mall. Then I would have all the things I was supposed to get for y'all. I'd buy the presents and wrap them up in paper, oh so pretty, that I would also have to buy from the store that was there for paper supplies. All the things were on the shelf. The night was real and dark. And all the cookies that we baked before, you still could smell. I knew the night was just beginning and then the action would happen. The doors would open and people would come in.
And they'd look for their presents underneath either a tree or on a table. Sometimes they were just sitting on a table. It wasn't always a holiday connected with anything. And then one night we heard the sound of something on the roof. It turns out it was just a black walnut branch scraping up there on the roof. It did not come in through the chimney or cause a great commotion. Bitty boom ba boom ba da ba dom ba boom boom ba boom ba. That was its magic potion. I was going to say something else. I don't know. I'll tell you what. This is what I've learned about holiday poetry, and I've been writing it many, many years. The one you've just heard, I must have written, I think, when I was 3. And you say, I can tell. Because it does, it sounds very precocious. So it sounds like a child is doing it, but then there's some words that would, why would a child know that? Unless they were the Mozart of Dada poetry. And who knows what child is going to be that? And who know the parents nowadays, they make groom them like that. Say, I want my, I do absurdist things to my child because I'm trying to groom them. How so? I don't even know. I don't know why I do things. That's part of my philosophy. I don't even really know why I'm doing things. I know I want to do them with you. I've been only able to distill my philosophy to this. I would love to hang out with you. That would be great. And I wouldn't mind bringing anything. And it's some kind of orange drink or something. I wouldn't mind bringing with me. And then we could, I don't even know what you want to do. We could play music. We could just sit around. We could show you how to make things. We could make cookies together. Some old recipe or something. Or maybe I could just, maybe have some sort of, I don't know, whether you, maybe you're trying to start a business or something, you'd like to ask an older person about relatives that, of theirs that have started businesses and failed. I know that a lot of people like that are full of stories. Oh, yes, you're starting a business? Let me tell you a story, of a horrible horror story. A friend of mine tried to start a business, and what he ended up doing was opening a space-time fissure and destroying his entire town and a lot of the state went with it. And then he had tremendous debt after that. It took so long. So don't ever have initiative like that. No, don't listen to that. Oh my gosh. I guess pursue your entrepreneurial dreams if you want to do that. Pursue your dreams of, what other kind of dreams would you have? Of being a famous sports figure? I don't know who you are. Say, yes, that's physically impossible for me, Hardy. Why not pursue it in a small way then, through fibbing? Or something like that. So just, oh, I'll get a pen pal and tell them I'm trying to become a famous athlete. No, don't do that, I guess. I don't know. No, don't. I don't. There's nothing. If you build things on lies, it's like building them on a lie. Let's say one of the subcontractors says, I poured the slab. And you go, yeah, did you? Are you sure? Yes, I definitely did. What if they didn't? You start building the house, and what have you built it upon? Perhaps mud or sand. An imaginary slab will not bear a house upon it. Not all of us have houses, nor do all of us have homes. Even among those who have houses, or an apartment counts as a house, I'm using it in the broadest sense. Not all of us feel safe. Not all of us feel as if they have somewhere to go. No matter who we are, even if we do have somewhere to go or some house that we believe we own, still a feeling remains of being homeless, of being sort of alone in the world, because we are vulnerable creatures, aren't we? And sometimes you open your eyes and you think, wow, maybe I am. Look at all the creatures of the world. I feel what they feel now, that one that longing for a home, that longing for protection and safety. Where do we get it? Do we get it from structures? Do we get it from one another? Could a friend like Don? So my friend literally turned into a house, but that doesn't happen to everyone. Some people are different kinds of houses. Some people turn into different structures for people. You know what you're saying, what I'm saying. I've turned into a, at various times in my life, I've been a Quonset hut. I have been a sort of just carport for an RV, kind of with a pitched roof, but no sides. I have been all sorts of structures. A barn, a covered bridge, a shed, a small house, a craftsman house, a larger house, some sort of larger house, a Tudor, a fake Tudor student housing apartment building. At one point I was, I think. And these aren't places I necessarily lived. They're just the building that I felt like at certain points in my life. Because am I not something living in? Is my body not a sort of little house? Maybe. Isn't that what Little House in the Prairie? That's really about the little house is the person. Did you know that? Oh, I thought it was about a family. No, it's about someone's internal struggle. The prairie is is your life, is that big expanse, that vast, you know, but limited, ultimately limited time. Because what's at the edges? Bison? Mountains? Trouble? I'd like to be here. Let me put your hands out. Put them back. What do you want to do with your hands? It's up to you. I don't want to start bossing you around. I don't know. But I guess if you came thinking it was a dance class or yoga and I said, okay, lift your hands up, that'd be cool. But if you think you came for tea and I say, raise your hands up now, you probably wouldn't do it. Because you didn't decide ahead of time. It's hard to think spontaneously. Should I or not raise my hands? If I didn't walk into the room thinking hand raising was going to be a thing, is it something I could decide then, or would I have to? I would look around first to see what other people are doing. And we know from psychological experiments done against our will in college that people do that, that they wait sometimes, and they can be convinced if others are doing it. So everybody put their hands up, so I will too, because I don't want to be the only one without my hands up. And I don't have to know what I'm doing to know, okay, this is what we're doing. I guess we're all doing this when we hear the whistle. So I'm going to go ahead and whistle, and I don't know where you are, but put your hands. Don't do that. No, I don't want to make you do anything or even ask you to do anything except listen to my story of getting this book. I should have never opened that book. Why? Well, there are things in that book, mainly dust, and I'm allergic to it. And so opening it, it was like, oh, wow, what is this? This book is trying to hurt me. And it's not the content of the book. And this sometimes can be true with people. I'll go up to them and they go, I don't know what, I guess I'm allergic to you. Because is it something that's on your coat? They go, I don't know. I smeared it with peanuts. No, I'm not allergic to peanuts. I don't know what it could be. It could be just a perfume or something. But forgive me for a minute while I just step away and rub my face vigorously and earnestly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, should have never done that. Sorry, I'm okay. Are you all right to continue? I'm okay, I just got an allergy flare-up. I'm good. You talk for a minute. No, I'm all right. It's true, though. Sometimes, and I get embarrassed. You get embarrassed when anything medical happens to you, don't you? And you shouldn't. Right? You shouldn't ever. You should be able to say to people, I'm in distress or something like that. But, oh, we're silly creatures. Can't be honest, even when we need help, even when we're around people we trust. It's so hard. But I think I'm over being self-conscious. I think I'm just going to cast it aside. I don't know that it's ever worked for me or will ever work for me. I think that I need to start being comfortable wherever I go. And I think it needs to be my home. I think I can't get attached to a certain place. Who knows if that place will always be there. If I get attached to places, oh, I think I won't be let down. If everywhere is my little home, if the world is a turtle shell and I'm in there, or a mansion. It's not a mansion. That's too big. I wouldn't own a mansion. I'd live in it. The world is my modest apartment. I like that. And I like also having a landlord, because otherwise you have to do things yourself. What's the equivalent? I'm not sure. If I had you over, would you help me, though? Do you like to do projects together? I love to work together. Don't you like to do endeavors with other human beings? We say, something needs to be done. Let's do it together. Yes, I'm all for that. Sometimes it's obvious, like let's dig a ditch outside our adjacent properties because we're tired of drowning to death in the river that forms there when it rains, and we do something to make it better. Other times, we don't know that we're making things better by having one of these, setting up one of these libraries where people can go there and read and open books and ruin their allergies, hurt themselves in their sinuses, or be subject to these societies of knights and everything that retrieve the overdue books at the point of a sword. It's all something we can achieve together. I like that. The old walled, they don't have a lot of the old walled libraries, the ones with moats around them anymore. And I miss those. Mom, let's go to the library. And the drawbridge would come down and you'd go across into the library and they'd read you Green Eggs and Ham or what so forth. I love that. That was fun. They would always have puppet time. So, puppets have fallen into the moat. That's why I think Mr. Rogers resonated with me, because I was like, oh, look at that castle. It's just like our library. And it has puppets and everything and people walking around going, here's, you need to listen to these dry as dust stories. Thank you. Oh, and opera. All children love opera. I don't know. Here's the thing. I like it. I don't know that I came to opera or anything sophisticated by being exposed to it as a child. I was. And at the time I thought, this is truly awful. Don't you have anything that's jaunty, like silly and jaunty? And I will get to the more sophisticated things later. But it's not really instilling any kind of love in me. It's just making me sleepy. And then it did happen eventually. But I don't know that it was early exposure to it. I think a lot of that, we could say that about children and whiskey or anything like that, or expensive truffles or anything like that. It takes a more sophisticated palate. And I know that children are like that. Like, I want truffle oil on everything. At what age? At what age? I'm complaining now. I sound like an old man here complaining. I don't want to ever do this. Oh, I know that I've probably become old. I'm old and I have a long white beard like Santa Claus. And like Santa Claus, I've made myself into a caricature. Here I am, of an old man, long white beard, like some painting in a museum. Hardy, I see you in past works of art. There you are, the old man, long of, with a hoary beard. Your beard is hoary. And at first I said, beg your pardon, and then I got quickly look it up. But I'm old, look at you, wizened and hoary. You don't have to keep saying it, though. And I wonder if I'm wiser or I'm just a child wearing this old Santa costume. Now I'm old, sad, and I'm sad. I'm sadder because you see people drop dead the older you get. And you go, oh, wow. I guess I knew it was going to happen. It's still such a shock. Get me out of here. I want to be a kid again. When things were simpler, I didn't want to know all the complicated things. Oh, please undo all my thoughts and memories. May they go marching back into the sea on the tray of strange waiters. May everything run backwards. And may I pause for a while on the playground made of the bones of a giant that has died there. We swing from his ribs, don't we? We run into his hips. And it gets very strange there as you crawl. You're crawling out of his pelvis. I don't want to tell you even with it. I don't want to say, blah, 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 blah. Let's run down to his feet where we again can be free and unselfconscious, running there at the bones of the feet of the giant that has fallen on our playground, the one that we retreat to in our minds when we get old, one that we want to go back to. Say, I want to be young. And when things were, when I was simpler, when I didn't have as much in my head, how do I get it out? Can I clean it out? No, it's just going to fall out. It's going to fall out like teeth or like some kind of gem that's been embedded to something, but not, ironically, in gold that was too soft to hold the gem in. If it was a less higher carat gold, it would have held the gem in longer, but you put that gem in 24 carat gold and it was so soft that your teeth fell out. Let's put this book away. This book is enchanted. Enough of the holiday specials. I liked them. I thought there was going to be food. a lot of you are thinking, it's a holiday party. And I don't even know what holiday. You won't say what holiday. I don't want to limit it. Because what season is it? I'm reluctant to say. It's cold in here because the room is always kept cold. Because I am thinking, I'm a hobbyist. What kind of thing would need to be kept cold all the time? That's not macabre. That's not macabre. No.
Needs to be kept cold. Beer hob. I like
frozen peas. I keep frozen peas, and I keep them in the normal room that I'm in, and so that room must remain very cold. It's like the freezer at a grocery store. You ever stepped into one of those walk-in freezers, and you think, I hope I don't get trapped in here. I think that happened on Brady Buncher or Lucille Ball or something, and there was tragic consequences, and people have died in them. So it's not funny, exactly, but it is strange to have a room like that that's frozen, into which, if you walked unprepared, it could be dangerous. A hot place like that, too, would be strange. Why have an oven so large like that? Why have a freezer so large? What are we keeping in there? What needs to be kept that cold that we have to have a whole room like that? Frozen peas? Why the frozen peas? Well, I'll tell you why the frozen peas. Frozen peas are very interesting because they can be opened and eaten, or they could be used as a sort of impromptu ice pack. They're nice, and they'll mold to the shape of your face like a MyPillow. Did you know to do that? And there's another thing that they evoke, and that's that strange Orson Welles advertisement where he's drunk and reading the things about peas, and then he gets very crude. Have you heard that? Back before there were moving pictures, we used to listen to tapes that were passed around by recording engineers of celebrities behaving strangely. And listen to that and laugh and think, oh, I wish there were pictures to go along. And then they had spy cams, and I guess we can see a lot of it now. But it used to be wonderful to listen to that. And say, I imagine I'm there being yelled at by Buddy Rich, is what children used to think. But then now you can go there even virtually. And though he's not alive anymore, I believe that you can get these holograms that will yell at you like that. No beards, they'll scream. And it's just like you're there, even though the celebrity is long gone. Can you imagine being surrounded by such ghosts? The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas future, the ghost of Christmas near past or future, all sorts of things in between, all sorts of subtle ghosts, hemi-demi-semi-quaver ghosts of time. Time divided up into the smallest notes you can imagine. 64ths. 128ths. 60, I can't do the math. I've now stopped myself because of math. My brain was running so quickly with just words. When I converted it all to numbers, it all came to a screeching halt. Isn't that strange? No, you're just ignorant. I am a little bit. I realize that. But you know what? I also think I know things. That's a lie. I realize that's a lie. But I have to feel a little bit like I'm not completely helpless in the world. It helps me just get by, but it also helps me to know that it's an illusion, and that I am as a driven leaf. Oh, yes, I secretly know. And so there are small portions of time that I allow myself to tell myself that I have no control, that I'm a driven leaf, that I have no responsibility. These things are just happening. Life is chaos. And then largely I pretend that there's some structure and some order, and then I'm responsible for certain things. And that's how I conduct myself. But then I let my heart soar often, because it's okay. I want to acknowledge the truth without letting the truth wreck my life. It's a Matrix thing, maybe. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you came. I just came over for hot cider, and now I feel like you've poisoned my mind. Oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, I just wanted you to take a little walk with me. I just wanted you to say to yourself, I wonder what people who used to live here looked like or sounded like. I wonder who will live here in the future. What was this place? What went on here before I got here, and what will go on here after I leave? That's all I want you to ask. And if you ask anything else, who will kick off or anything like that, that's up to you. But I won't ask nothing. I'm asking you nothing except, can I get a ride home? Now that we're done, can I get a... I'm sorry to ask this. Normally, I would just get a car service or something. But is it, if you're going anywhere near my place, could I just get a ride home? I'm giving you... This would be a taste of what my live show is like. Can I... Do you have a live show, Hardy? No, I don't. But that's what I'm running through what it would be like in my head. And I would be asking people... To get me a lift. I know I live three states away, but I know that I could keep awake for my coming home. I don't know, you're on your own, but getting there, I could stay awake the whole time and we could visit and it'd be fun. And then goodbye. Oh, I don't want to do that to you, but I would love to hang out. And that's why it's so great to do this and have these visits with you on the radio. Sometimes I feel like this medium, and I say it's medium, but it's more like it's like a large. Is made for you and I. Just for you and I. And I love that. Just so we could... All the past. It just randomly happened, probably. But I like imagining that it all happened just for this point right now. That you and I get to be together. And I think that's lovely. It's not true, but I think it's lovely. And you know, when I go to art museums, I don't think the painting is true, but it makes me feel wonderful. And it's there. It's real. It's real enough, though made of paint. Though it's just an image, it still evokes things. It makes me feel real. It's like a dream. It still makes you sad or happy or excited, even though it's merely a dream. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. And I am so glad that you are listening this week, as I am every week so glad. But I'm glad to yell that out about where people are listening. You're listening on the radio. Can you imagine that? That we still live in an age there where we could turn on a radio and somebody's message is coming right out of the air like that. And in right into your, is it a car service? What are you driving? Who's driving? Either being driven by somebody or driving somebody now? Are you allowed to drive just yourself anymore, or do you have to have a passenger, a paying passenger? I don't know how things work anymore because I time travel. I won't want to spoil it for you. I'm just glad that you're with me now. Oh, my friends, I don't know whatever holiday you were celebrating or are celebrating or about to celebrate. It's wonderful to do it with people who you like to be with, who make you feel good about yourself, who make you feel safe, who make you feel like you're in a special house. I tell you what, I hope and my prayer is that you get to be with people that make you feel that way soon, or you have been there soon. And if not, I'm always very blessed to be your virtual fun house where you come and have something that's peppermint or whatever around the holidays. And I want to continue to be your special peppermint friend substitute home for you.